If you have your Bibles, you'll need them, but also I hope that you have a copy of the notes. If you don't, they're available in the back, and I want to encourage you to continue to fill these out and then keep them. Organize them and allow them to be at least a resource to you on the area of the study of God and theology. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the spiritual gifts introduction, why we have spiritual gifts. Here's a quick flash quiz. The primary reason that each and every believer is given a spiritual gift is for the purpose of what? Talk to me. Edifying the body of Christ. To edify and to encourage the church of Jesus Christ. If you are not involved in using your spiritual gift in the bride of Christ, that is not an acceptable position for a child of God. Then we moved into what sign gifts were for today. And now we're going to be looking into, I'm not sign gifts, I'm sorry, spiritual gifts. We're going to be looking at the wonderful area of sign gifts for today in our area of pneumatology. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are completely dependent upon Your Holy Spirit to understand anything in Your Word. And while it is possible for us to have an intellectual understanding of what it says, apart from Your Spirit, it will not transform our lives. And so, Lord, we seek something greater than just an understanding, but the bearing witness of Your Holy Spirit, that we might reflect You clearer and clearer in our lives. Father, I readily confess this can be a difficult area of study, and if I am wrong, I ask that You correct me and that I would align myself up with Your truth, not my comfort zone. And I pray this in Your Son's precious name. Amen. So let's move right into it. What are sign gifts? What are sign gifts? Gifts given as proof or signs of authenticity. That is a major foundational principle to remember as we move through this, all right? They are proof, God-given proof or signs of authenticity. What do sign gifts look like within the Word of God as given? Well, there is healing. First of all, healing is the gift that enables to impart healing on others apart from therapeutic means. And it served to authenticate the commission of the apostles of Jesus Christ, to heal outside of therapeutic means. Looking at the blind and saying, see. Looking at the dead and saying, rise. Looking at the lame and say, walk again. Undeniable proofs of the authenticating of God's message. Another one is miracles. Enabled one to perform superhuman works in an external way apart from and contrary to the natural laws. We've talked about that a couple years ago, about the difference between the providential work of God and the miraculous work of God. And while God may choose in and of his own will to do miraculous things, we see that primarily He works through His providential care in our lives. So this is outside and contrary to natural law. Heal the lame, raise the dead, etc. And this would cover a multitude of sign gifts in their specificity, if you will. Another one is speaking in tongues. This enabled a person to spontaneously speak in another language previously unknown to them. I put in there English to Japanese, or for someone in Hebrew who spoke Hebrew to instantly be able to speak Greek. But it was the ability to spontaneously speak another dialect that was previously unknown to them. If I were to all of a sudden break out into Thai today, and I've never studied it, and I spoke it with clarity, that would be the gift and sign of tongues. Another one is the interpretation of tongues. This enabled one to understand and interpret what was being said by the one who was speaking an instant known language. Another one is discerning the spirits. This enabled one to perceive whether or not an alleged prophet spoke under divine inspiration or not. We find that in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, these definitions this evening will serve as our summary of sign gifts. Others may contend that there are more. For example, the supernatural sign gift of knowledge, of knowing something with precision without ever having to study it. And I'm not here to discredit that in any way. I would classify that under some different areas. But the purpose of this study is not to exhaust an agreeable list, but to touch on the definition and the function of sign gifts today. So this will do as at least a generous list of sign gifts from the Word of God. So now we're going to move into sign gifts today. All right? So let's start out with the big question. Let's go from there. Is speaking in tongues for today? Is speaking of tongues for today? Well, we must first start out by answering the question, what is the biblical understanding and definition of tongues? It's important to understand that every time the Bible refers to speaking in tongues, it is a known language with an interpreter. Again, if I were to spontaneously speak my horrible grammar in English and I instantly went into a perfection of Thai or Japanese or Chinese, that would be, or Korean, all right? If I just spontaneously spoke in Korean, that would be the gift of tongues as defined within the Word of God. In fact, Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 12 says, when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, how is it that each of us hears them speaking in our own native tongue? Again, this is not a static utterance. This is not a rolling of the R's or the stuttering of the T, and I say that with humility. It is our own native language in our own tongue. All right? Understanding the proper definition of tongues is paramount to understanding whether or not the sign gift is for today or being practiced as described within the Word of God. The miracle is that someone would break out into another known language without ever studying or knowing it. This is clearly not what is going on in today's charismatic church. Now, I say that with love, and I say that with humility, but I say that with certainty as well. As we look at the biblical definition of what tongues is today, this clearly is not what is going on. In fact, we will go a little bit further. All right? As many will speak with no interpreter in a language that does not exist. All right? That does not fall under the biblical definition of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22, and informs us that the gift of tongues was a sign, now grab this, was a sign to unbelievers and was to be used publicly, not privately. Today, tongues is used in an unbiblical way as a sign of salvation and used during private prayer. Nowhere in the entire Word of God are we ever even encouraged, exhorted, or told to pray in static utterances in private for the sake of believers. It was never a sign to say, look, I'm truly saved. I have the ability to speak in tongues as defined today. It was for unbelievers. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. If someone stood up in a church and spoke spontaneously in another language, and another person spontaneously stood up and translated it, that would be the biblical gift of tongues as defined within the Word of God. Now, some will, in all fairness, point to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, as their primary definition of static utterances for the church today. And that verse says this, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God indeed. No one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. And there will be individuals that we'll see in heaven and that we will worship with for all of eternity, all right, that will say, see here, this is a clear reference to static unknown languages that we pray to God. Well, that would be absolutely accurate if we abandoned the entire context of Romans chapter 12 and Romans 14 and we threw a dart into verse 2 and said there is our theology. But throwing a dart at the Word of God is not an authentic and genuine approach to knowing God. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I have charismatic friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and I will worship with them, and they will worship with me, you know, from a distance, all right? They won't. No, I'm teasing. But throwing a dart at the Word of God and saying, see, is not in a genuine and acceptable approach. So let's look at the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and allow the Word of God to be our teacher, not what we experience or enjoy be our teacher. Because if what we experience and what gives us most joy is our teacher, we are in a world of trouble, especially in the realm of morality and biblical exegesis. Amen, church? What does the Word of God say? Teach, speak, all of it. Not just 33%, but all 77 plus 33, 100% elementary truths of the Word of God. So, let's look at the context. The word tongue in this passage is the word glossia, all right? Paul uses this word 24 other times in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, Romans 3, Philippians chapter 2. Every time he uses this word glossia, tongue, it is of an intelligible language. And this passage is no exception. This passage is no exception. In fact, proper hermeneutics tells us that when we have a scripture that teaches something with some generalities or some vagueness, it is the other passages of scripture with detail that interpret the general one. And 24 other times, this word is always used as an intelligible, known language. Also, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, is about the worship standards in the church. In that, if someone speaks spontaneously in another known language, it must be no more than two or three at a time, with the requirement that there must be an interpreter. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 28. Now grab that context before we even go any further. Corporate worship. Do it in order. No more than two or three at a time. And that there has to be an interpreter. Is that what's going on today? I think the honest answer is no, it is not. Plus, the same passage says in 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 25, that the gift of tongues is for the purpose of drawing unbelievers, not believers. Now, contrast to the doctrine of today's sign gifts that we have created. It was for the purpose of unbelievers, not believers. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22 through 24 says this. Let's read this. Tongues, then, are a sign, class, what does it say? Is a sign for, not for believers, but for what? Unbelievers. So the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues. And some of you do not understand, or some unbelievers come in. Will they not say that you are out of your mind? So what we have here is a bookmark, all right? You have 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, that says, for if anyone speaks in tongues, he does not speak unto men, but indeed to God. And no one understands them, and he utters mysteries in the Spirit. And the next bookend is 1 Corinthians 14, 22 through 23, that says, some will come in, some unbelievers will come in, and they will say that you are absolutely out of your mind if you're speaking in tongues and there is no interpreter. So when we understand the context, and you can see the bullet, when you wrap the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if someone speaks in tongues and does not have an interpreter, his speech is a mystery, in that no one can understand him, because there is no one to interpret the language, causing the gift of tongues to be ineffective to the church, which, by the way, is the primary reason we even have spiritual gifts, is to edify the body. Paul said, I would rather speak five intelligent words than 5,000 words in tongue. Five intelligent words. Because when the body of Christ comes together, it is for the edification of the saints. And this doesn't edify. You guys are perverting and confusing this gift from the start. Causing the gift of tongues to be ineffective to the church. Making it a mystery to all around. Because only the speaker in God knows what's going on. And that is not the purpose of tongues. The mystery, spoken in 1 Corinthians 14:2, is not a description of the tongues, but a product of what happens when tongues is done in an unbiblical manner. Look at this. Will they not say you are out of your mind? Bring the context up. No one will understand you. And you utter mysteries with the Spirit. And it is there with the context that we understand what we are approaching here. Will they not say you're out of your mind? The mystery here is not a description of tongues, but a product of what happens when tongues is done in an unbiblical way. Scripture says something if we will commit ourselves to study. Again, with great humility, we must remember that never ever, 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 ever in the entire Bible is the gift of tongues described as an unintelligible static utterance and language from the Spirit. The practice, and to practice this, is not only out of line, but it is out of bounds with Scripture, and it is contrary to the very reason we were given the sign gift. Contrary to it. So we're not even talking about if tongues are for today at this point. Okay, we're not even talking about that. We're saying that unintelligible, static utterances aren't even a sign in the Word of God. Now that pushes it to a whole nother level of study. In fact, God told us in His Word, this is phenomenal, God told us in His Word to not speak this way. He told us in His Word to not use static, unintelligible utterances when speaking to Him. Now grab that, church. We're told not to do it. Yet there are elements under the umbrella of Christianity that not only do it, but promote it and redefine it in a way that is not in the Word of God for a purpose contrary to the very reason we have gifts to edify the church. I want to share with you about a 3-minute recording from John MacArthur. And I'm not going to teach what he can teach much better than I can. So, Mike, if you would start this up. We are told never to speak in an unintelligent manner. Listen to this, and then we'll come back.
Are given for the purpose of ministering or speaking to men.
You get that?
To men. No spiritual gift was ever given for God, but for men. All gifts are given to build the body of Christ. They are to minister to each other. God doesn't need us to minister some gift to Him. That's okay, right? And Paul is saying you have fallen down on the very basic use of a gift, and that is that it is for men, but what you are doing is not for men, but for a God. And here you have the anarthrous construction, the absence of an article, not the God or the true God, but better translated, I think, a God. In other words, you are out of yourself, connecting to some God, speaking your pagan mysteries, and you have violated principle number one of the spiritual gift, which is to be for others. Other people. Other humans. God doesn't need you to talk to Him in some ecstasy. Listen, it's amazing to me that the modern charismatic movement falls short of this very point. They repeat the Corinthian error, and they teach that the essential use of tongues is as a private prayer language to God. That is just what Paul is condemning here. He is saying, you have missed the point. The point is that gifts are to speak to men, but yours are some kind of communion with a God, and nobody knows what you're saying if you're speaking in pagan mystery. God doesn't want to be talked to like that. It was never God's intention to be addressed in some speech incomprehensible to the speaker. Go through the epistles and take out every prayer prayed in the epistles. And then when you're done, check every single prayer in the entire Bible. And then check every single prayer that Jesus ever prayed. And then check every single thing Jesus ever said about prayer. And I say, if you find any word anywhere, anytime that suggests that it ever should be unintelligible, you'll never find it. In fact, Jesus said the exact opposite. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. Listen. When you pray, use not meaningless repetition. Watch this. As the pagans do. And you know what the phrase there, the word is? Meaningless repetition, bata lageo. Lageo is the word to speak from which we get the word logos, which means word. And the prefix is bata. And bata is not even a word. It is what we call in English, and some of you English people remember this, onomatopoeia. Remember that? like we say a bee goes bzzz, or a zipper goes zip, or the plane goes whoosh. Well, bata isn't a word either. What he's really saying, the literal Greek is, when you pray, he says, when you pray in Matthew 6, 7, don't say bata, bata, bata. Or don't go to God with whoosh, zip. That's the whole idea. That is not the kind of communication God is interested in. That is what the pagans do. In other words, even in Jesus' time, Jesus recognized a certain stammering, stuttering gibberish being offered by pagans to their gods, and he said, that's exactly what I do not wish you to do when you pray to Paul.
And Jesus said, do not use meaningless sounds of repetition. That word bata, not even a word in the original language, it's just a noise. What has tongues become today? Exactly that. So it's important to understand that when we talk about is the gift of tongues today, we have to make sure that we land on a definition that is found within the Word of God before we even begin to answer the question if it is for today. I will say in its current form, within the charismatic church, the answer is clearly no, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, Romans chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 4. So now we're going to move on, now that we've at least gotten a relative definition of some sign gifts. What were the purpose of sign gifts? And this is important too in understanding them. Sign gifts were miracles and demonstrations that communicated or confirmed God's truth. Matthew 16. They were intended to be undeniable signs. Grab that, church. Undeniable signs of God's truth that could not be reproduced or explained in any way. They could not be explained away in any way. It would be me saying to the blind, see. To the lame, walk. To the dead, rise. All right? Undeniable truths. In fact, the Pharisees longed to disprove Jesus Christ, but he went to Israel with undeniable signs. The only sign that the Pharisees attacked as illegitimate is when Jesus cast out a demon out of the man, and they said, you do this out of the power of Beelzebub. The reason they attacked that sign is because it was the least tangible one. You could manufacture that. And of course, Christ rebuked them. They were undeniable, clear, could not be faked in any way. Satan said, throw yourself from the temple mount, or the temple, and prove that you're the Messiah. Undeniable, cannot be faked. Fall to the ground and rise up, which would be a sign to the Jews that you are the Messiah. Sign gifts were miracles. They were outside of God's natural or of natural law. Yet we have taken the gift of tongues from a spontaneous miracle of speech and made it into a vain repetition like the pagans, understanding that a sign gift was for undeniable outward sign. I want to ask you some questions. Can static, unintelligible speech like tongues be reproduced today? Can it be explained away? Can an unbeliever mimic it? Could another person use it to authenticate a false message? Are you able to deny it? And the answers are, as defined today within the in today's church, yes, 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 yes. Therefore, static utterances don't even fall under the category of sign gifts. Does the body of Christ need the operation of sign gifts today? I've been harping on tongues. Let's move into more general things. The best way to answer this question is to answer one more simple question. Why and who were they for? Were they a sign gift even in the first place? If we understand from the Bible why God gave sign gifts, then we can discern readily if they are still needed and operative today. And I think I will fall on a very balanced place here, because I can only go as far as Scripture takes me. Sign gifts were given to the apostles as a way to authenticate their message was undeniably from God and distinctly different from all other false religions. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul defines that an apostle as one who has physically seen Jesus Christ. Sign gifts were given to the apostles to authenticate their message. There are no more apostles today. There are no more people who have seen the physical Jesus Christ. When Paul defended his apostleship in 1 Corinthians 12, 11 through 12, when he defended his apostleship, he brought up the signs of the apostles. The signs that proved I'm apostle. Excuse me. The sign gifts were also given to Israel as a sign. The nation of Israel itself was born through the use of miraculous signs. Let's throw that one up there, Mike. There it is. Nice and slow, okay? The nation of Israel was born through the use of miraculous signs. Exodus 4. 1 Corinthians 1:22 states that the Jews require a sign. When Christ came to minister to Israel, he came with signs and wonders. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Paul clearly had Israel in mind when he quotes the prophecy concerning Israel in Isaiah 28, 11 through 12. The Corinthian church was started right next door to a Jewish synagogue for the purpose of drawing them. As Israel observed Gentiles demonstrating sign gifts, it was a testimony that God had left Israel and had gone to the Gentiles. In fact, it was the gift of tongues that signified that God had begun a new work that encompassed the Gentiles. The Lord would now speak in all nations, to all tongues, in all languages. The barriers are broken down. No longer was it only for the house of Israel. Even the gift of tongues in and of itself symbolizes that God had gone to the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 14:22 and verse 4. It was a physical, visible evidence which the Jews required that God was now among the Gentiles and judgment was imminent if Israel did not repent. Even the Gentiles experienced them. When the Gentiles experienced the sign gifts, it was for the purpose of provoking Israel to jealousy so that they might come to Christ and be saved. We find that in Romans 11, 1 Corinthians 14, Isaiah 28. I want you to grab this, my friends in my church. The provoking ministry of Israel ended in Acts 28, 25 through 28. And after this declarative statement, when God said, I have left you, I want you to grab this. After Acts 28, grab this. Sign gifts are never mentioned again. Can you hear the silence? Never mentioned again in the Word of God. Except for 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, which was written before the book of Acts. In fact, you can read about 1 Corinthians in the book of Acts. 1 Corinthians, while chronologically is placed after Acts, it was actually written 6 years before the book of Acts and is a transitional period. All right? So, never again are sign gifts mentioned except for 1 Corinthians, and then only because they had misconstrued the whole matter concerning spiritual gifts and they were in need of correction. We saw that in a later slide with the context that people are going to think you're absolutely out of your mind if you utter unintelligent words that they can't even understand. It'll be a mystery to them when we understand that. It appears from the internal evidence of Scripture that after the post-Acts books, that sign gifts become no longer normative. And the church is encouraged to use service gifts found in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 to edify the church rather than to seek sign and wonders. Internal biblical evidence of sign gifts declining are very clear within the Word of God. There is evidence that sign gifts were fading in the post-Acts books written. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, it says, I left Trophimus sick in, I can't even say that word, Miletus, anyone? Miletus. Here's a question. Why not heal him? Why leave him sick? Why not heal him? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, he says, hey, listen, use some wine for your ill stomach. Why not heal the ill stomach? Another one. Gentleman's name, who I will not try to pronounce because I'll destroy it, almost dies. Why not sustain him and raise him up? 2 Timothy 2:15 emphasizes the need for perpetual and deep study. No miraculous sign of gifts of knowledge. We must now set ourselves to study. This is a far cry from the earlier days of Paul's ministry when Israel was still a nation in Acts chapter 19, when God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched Paul, that were taken to the sick, and their illness was cured, and the evil spirits left them. Wow, what an undeniable, tangible, visible evidence that the Jews demanded, that were prevalent in front of their eyes. It was so powerful, it was so prevalent, they were cutting up handkerchiefs of Paul and sending them to people, and they're getting healed. Yet later within the Pauline epistles, he's leaving them sick, ill, and dying. Something happened. Something happened. Now notice, in the post-Acts books, signs were all but gone, but in the book of Acts, signs were powerful. They were abundant. What changed? I would say Israel was rejected, who required a sign, and God's word had been declared. Colossians 1:25. Was Paul sick of healing people? Did he no longer love people and he left them sick? And I mean this with a bit of sarcasm. Was he out of handkerchiefs? I think the most obvious answer, all things being equal, the most obvious answer applies. We tend to want to romanticize or absolutely redefine gifts, even to the point of redefining them so that they are something that they were never even intended to be. After the book of Acts, when Gentiles are grafted in, I want you to hear this, church. After the book of Acts, and I'm including 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 in this, because it was written before the book of Acts, and even then, when it brought up sign gifts, it was to correct the church who had perverted and redefined them, and were using them for themselves, not for the edification of the church. So even then, it's used as a correction. All right? Not a promotion. In fact, Paul said, 5 words would be better than 5,000 spoke for your own self. After the book of Acts, hear this, there is not a single mention of healing ever again. Let that marinate. After the book of Acts, not another mention of healing. Why? With humility, I think we might know why. In fact, Paul addressed, let's go a little bit further. Paul addressed spiritual gifts after the post-Acts books. He addressed them in Ephesians. He addressed them in Romans. He discussed spiritual gifts at length and never, ever mentioned sign gifts. Now if, capital I, small f, if sign gifts are not fading, if sign gifts are becoming no longer normative, do you think Paul, through the inspiration of the very Holy Spirit who spreads these gifts out to believers, might mention those powerful gifts, yet never once mentions them? Only mentions and encourages service gifts that edify the church. Things that make you go, hmm. That's a song for those of you who are not cool. Plus, if one still believes in the continuation of sign gifts, even after the evidence found within a progressive understanding of the New Testament, then it must be all or none. If one believes in healing and tongues and so forth, they must also believe in raising people from the dead. You cannot a la carte sign gifts. And they must be undeniable. They must be undeniable, miraculous sign gifts. Not saying, my cholesterol has gotten better. My cataracts are clear. Is that what a cataract is? All right. It's not, the pain in my knee is gone. Church, is that a sign gift? Talk to me. No. Because the loss could mimic that. Undeniable proof. Again, sign gifts were given to Israel so that they would believe the word of the apostles. Also, the internal evidence of the Pauline epistle tells us that once Israel was set aside nationally and God's word was confirmed, there was no longer the need for normative use of sign gifts in the word of God. In fact, nowhere in the Bible are we ever told to seek a sign. Matthew chapter 16, verse 4 says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Signs were never ever meant to identify those who believe. Grab that. Grab that and look at the contrast of what we have in today's churches. Sign gifts were never meant to identify those who believe, but as an evidence to those who do not. 1 Corinthians 14, Acts chapter 2. What a contrast to what we have for the idea of signs today. So what is our summary this evening? Our summary this evening is this. Sign gifts, like tongues and healing, are not mentioned past the post-act books. Matthew, Acts, 1 Corinthians. Remembering that 1 Corinthians was written before the book of Acts in 54 A.D. Sign gifts and healing are not mentioned in the post-Acts books. Epistles written after Acts, such as Ephesians and Romans, both discuss gifts of the Spirit at length, but no mention is made of sign gifts. By that time, it appears that sign gifts were already looked at something in the past, Hebrews 2, 3-4. The apostolic authority and message needed no further confirmation, rendering sign gifts for the church as non-normative. And Christians are clearly commanded to seek service gifts for the edification of the church, not for themselves. Now, I want to close by telling you this. I in no way want to put God in a box, but neither do I want to abandon a consistent and contextual study of His Word so that I can feel good about what I want to believe. There is a distinction between the two. So I want to close by telling you that in no way do I want to put God in a box. He is greater in church. This goes for you. It goes for me. God is greater than our understanding of Him. Amen? He's greater than our understanding of Him. If He chooses to do things that are outside of my comfort zone, or here it is, even outside of my understanding of Him, and my understanding of theology, and my understanding of the revelation of God's Word, my hope is that I would test it against the Word of God and simply submit myself to Him and not my pattern of comfort. So my friends, before we ask ourselves, is sign gifts today, we must understand the accurate definition of a sign gift, what they were for, what they're being used for now, before we can answer the question of whether or not they are normative today. And I believe the internal progressive evidence found within the post-Acts books of the Bible tells us that no longer are we to seek a sign, no longer are we to use gifts in any way that would be self-serving, but we are to use and seek service gifts for the building and the edifying of the church alone. Well, the wonderful truths of God's Word, if we seek to understand its elementary teachings and its advanced teachings within the Word of God, may we know His Word, and may we be humble, graceful, and loving when we come to other believers who may not agree with us, but may we know His Word. May we know His Word. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. If I stepped out of bounds, I ask that Your Holy Spirit would convict me this week, that You and Your powerful teaching ministry and bearing witness in my life would correct me. And Father, I confess before You today, right now, I would publicly correct myself to my church family. Your Word and Your truth is far greater than my ego or my need to be right. So Father, may I be fair and may I be just with Your Word. And may we seek a full understanding of You so that we might be filled with Your Spirit. And I pray this in Your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.